Tonight we kind of continuing through first chapter, at least kind of using it as an inspiration, but the main verse of that chapter, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we've looked at that, of Jesus being the way, Jesus being the truth, specifically the truth will set us free. And so tonight we want to look at Jesus as the life. And so all of us desire to have a life that is enjoyable and fulfilling. And there's nothing wrong with that desire. Like, we don't want to, like, I want my life to go bad. I want to experience misery. Like, that's not something that we want to do. We want to have an enjoyable life. We want to have a life where we do stuff and we feel fulfilled by it. We feel we've accomplished something. Where what we do is makes us feel good on the inside, right? And what can happen is we can sometimes enter an addiction thinking, well, this is going to provide me the enjoyment and fulfillment that I seek. I'm going to pursue after this, and this will give me what I want. But of course, what happens so often, we think we'll go after this thing, and we're totally disappointed that it wasn't what we thought it was. It makes our life worse rather than better. But then sometimes what happens is we, in a situation, we're not enjoying the situation we're in. It's not what we wanted it to be, but we can't get out of it. So what happens is sometimes we go into an addiction to just escape from that existence that we don't enjoy. And so we can get it kind of from both directions. It can, that desire, which is a good desire, can sometimes be turned against us. But either way, we can get to a point where instead of saying, I enjoy my life, I'm happy with my life, this is the life I'm living, and I'm just going to live it up, instead we get a point where we say, I hate my life. And we try to change it, do what we can to try to change it, and if we can't change it, then we're tempted just to end our life. Like, what's the point in carrying on in this way, because this is just what I thought was life and enjoyment is just misery and death. I might as well just cut life short to get away from that. And it's in those moments, that's when we need to turn to Jesus and discover the abundant life that we can have in Him. That's what He's offering to us. And to really take a look at it and understand the life that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first off, we kind of think in terms of what we would identify as the empty life. And society as a whole would tell us that the key to having a successful, fulfilling life is to gain possession, status, and fame. And so what do we think of people that are get all the attention and all the focus? It's just these ones that are celebrities, that they've been in a movie and they make $1 million or more every movie, and they have all these adoring fans, and we think, wow, well, we want to be like them, and those people, they're going to be happy. And of course, a lot of times where you get the different biographies later, you find out behind the scenes that a lot of times they're doing drugs because they can't deal with the fame, or they just, there's an emptiness that the fame didn't take away. But it's the thought that we see these people, a lot of times we think, well, if I just have these things in my life, if I just get to a higher level of status in society, if I get a bit more fame and acclaim, that'll make me happy. And if I don't get those things, well, life is just going to be miserable, and there's nothing I can do about it. And so that's what we, a lot of times, have kind of put upon us, and that we just, that's what we're bombarded with, and we think that's what the truth is. But the reality is that those things do not, and they cannot fulfill us. That there's an emptiness there, and a lot of times we try to fill our life with all those things, and it makes it worse, not better. And we see this verse that Jesus said in Luke 12:15. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness being where we see something and we desire it to the point where that's, we become fixated on it. It becomes like a god to us. And it says, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And so the things that we have, that's not what our life is about. And if we think that it is, that we're fooling ourselves. And we see an important warning given to us in 1 John 2:14-15-17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, we understand this passage, when it's speaking of the world, it's not speaking that we're not to love people. What it's talking about is just the way of the world's thinking, that we're not to love that, because, of course, spiritually speaking, there's forces that are drawing people away from what is good, and so we need to be aware of that. And what this passage does, it identifies three impulses that our world is consumed with. And we can realize this as we really look out on society and see this is what so many are governed by, and we can be entrapped by as well. First off, it says, the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh we can desire is a controlling desire to do. That there's something that, an experience that we want to have. That we think if I experience this, this will make me happy. We can have the lust of the eyes. That's a compulsive urge to have. And that's really the idea of greed, and where we're desiring something that we don't have. We think if I just have this, then this will fulfill me. Then thirdly, the pride of life. That's a consuming urge to be. And it's the thing is, we look at who we are and we think, well, if I become this person, if I get to this point of success or accomplishment or notoriety, that then I'll be where I want to be, and I'll be fulfilled in my life, and I'll have like real value to my life. And the thing is with all these things, as the verse says, that the world passeth away in the lust thereof. So all these things that we pursue after, that we're expecting will give us happiness and fulfillment and enjoyment in life, they're going to fade away. And so we realize that at the very best, all they can give us is momentary enjoyment. Just for just a brief moment, we can enjoy that. Right? That, like, and we can think of that, that sometimes we get a craving for something, and we say, oh, I've got to have this, and this will make me feel better. Then we get it, and then it's like, wow, that was so unfulfilling. It just, we have convinced in our mind that this thing is just, this is what will make my day, this will make it better, and then we get it, and it's just like, wow, that was not worth having. And that's the thing, that just even the momentary enjoyment that we think this will have isn't guaranteed. Sometimes these things we think will be great end up being something very bad for us. And so as we pursue after those, we're pursuing after things that are going to vanish. And it's a thought too that even if we do gain these things, we have to ask ourselves, what did I have to give up to get them? What have I lost along the way in order to gain hold of this? And a lot of times what it can be is our relationships with people that care about us can be lost, people's trust, our own reputation, that we get these things and we find out they weren't worth having, and then we see, what did I have to give up to get it? And so we see a verse there in Matthew 16:26, what is a man profit because he'll gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But that's what happens, is for some that they might gain, but they have to surrender their integrity, surrender their reputation, or they have to basically push everyone out of their life and basically stomp on people kind of on climbing the ladder of success in order to get where they are today. It just is not worth it. And so it's the thing that we only have one life to live, and we cannot afford to waste it in empty pursuits. It isn't something where we get to we get to be 80 years old and we look back on our life and it's like, boy, I could have lived that differently. And God says, sure, let's start you back again at 5 and you can just live it over again and fix all your mistakes that you made. It doesn't happen that way, right? But we can get to that point and we can look at, like, what have I done with my life? That it just, I wasted these years and I'll never ever get it back. So we can't afford to waste them in empty pursuits. And so we want to understand there is a life that we can live on this earth that can be fulfilling. But it comes as we get our eyes off of the temporal things of this world and instead we get them onto the eternal things of God. That the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Lord shall abide forever. And so we want to have that, that everything around me, that I can't expect that to bring fulfillment. There's more to life. It's kind of like with Solomon, where he looked over this world, he says, everything under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's a waste of time. But the perspective he had to get was, okay, is that God is above the sun. That when we see him as part of the equation, everything makes sense. And that's why he concludes that book with the idea, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And so that's what we have to do, is realize that if we pursue after the things of this world, we take God out of the equation, life is empty and meaningless. But as soon as we make him part of the equation again, then it starts to make sense. And life has real purpose and value. And so thus we want to consider Jesus, as he said, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we see the declaration in 1 John 5:11-12. It says, this is a record God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so it's the thought that if we don't have Christ in our life, we don't have life. And we understand in terms of eternal life, and especially in terms of the life that we have to live of being fulfilling on this earth. And Jesus himself, he declared, I am the resurrection and the life. And that he believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That he wants us to understand him in that way, that he is the one through whom we can be resurrected, physically, but also spiritually speaking. And he is the life that we can live. That it talks in another place in the scriptures, a person that lives in pleasure is dead while they live. And as we pursue after the things of this world, that's what happens, is we're living it up, but we're actually dead on the inside. And what happens with the Lord Jesus is he can give us new life, where we can discover how fulfilling life can actually be. And so we understand, first of all, Christ is our hope for eternal life. And it says we come to him in repentance and faith, that we then pass from death unto life, that as we call upon the name of the Lord, we're saved, and our eternal destiny is secured. We now have a heavenly home awaiting for us, and we need that. Every person needs to come to that decision where they accept Christ as their Savior. But we want to understand too that Jesus does not simply give us hope of a better life in eternity, but also for the hope of a better life now. And that's the thing, that sometimes we can almost look at, well, my life is miserable, but now I have God, and so one day life will be better, but I still have to exist in this misery now. And yes, that can give us some hope for eternity, and we need to have that. That's valuable. But what we want to understand is that life can be changed now. And a lot of it comes as our perspective. Again, as we stop seeing things based on what's under the sun, and then instead seeing things with God as being part of the equation. And so we see what Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So he wants us to have abundant life. But that's why he came, to give us that life. And that's the thing, that even though our lives can be destroyed by our bad decisions, we see that Jesus wants to redeem and reclaim our lives from that. That's really the work that he does. And the word redeem really, when you understand the meaning of it, it's the idea of being bought back from slavery. That something that has been really taken and abused and cast away, that God basically takes it and heals it and fixes it, makes it new, and then uses it for a purpose far greater than what it once was used for. And so that's what he wants to do with our lives, that we could say, with the decisions that I've made, so much of my life I wasted pursuing after empty pleasures. But he says, well, now I want to take that life that maybe many other people would say, well, that was a worthless life. He says, well, I want to use that life. I want to make something out of it far beyond what anyone would ever expect. And I just wanted to read this passage in Psalm 103, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And that's the thing, that he redeems us, our lives, from destruction. That we were on a path of self-destruction, and he took us from that and changed our life to a life of wholeness, a life of purpose, a life where we can, instead of being hurting other people, where we can be a help and encouragement and a blessing. And so that's really his redemptive work. A lot of times where he takes what everyone else has cast aside and he turns it into something beautiful. You could think of it where you have different people where they specialize in restoring old vehicles, where they can go out in some place and they find this old rusted up truck that person sells to them for a couple $100 just to get it off their property, kind of thing. You pay a little bit more than the scrap metal guy does, and so he'll get it for you because he's just looking for a quick buck. But then you work with that and you invest time and energy into that vehicle, and then you're able in the next year's parade to actually have that thing in the parade, and the person that you bought it for a couple $100, you're like, that was the vehicle that I had. And it just, to see that transformation, well, that's really what God wants to do with each and every one of us, where life has just basically beat us down and kind of rusted us out, but yet he's able to fix us and get us running again and get us operational and turn us into something beautiful once again. That's what he wants to do, and that's what he specializes in doing. And so really it's as we get to know him and we have him work in our life, that's really the exciting thing of just seeing of how he's taking us from destruction and healing us and making us new and transforming us into something far different than we ever were before. And that's the thing, that before we lived for ourselves and for temporal pleasures, and we did that, all we found was emptiness. But it's the thing that as we learn to follow Christ, and as we do that, we learn to live for others and for eternal purposes, that's when we find true fulfillment. Because that's the thing, is that when we're selfish and we're miserable because we're not getting our way and we make everyone else miserable, that's no life to live, right? But when we're willing to help others, be a blessing, and a lot of times where God can bring us to a point where we were a mess and we needed help to kind of get out of the mess we were in, but now he's brought us to a point where we can now help someone else and get them out of the mess that they're in. And with compassion and patience, that really kind of, it brings it full circle, and it can be so such a great feeling where you can see that God turned what was a bad thing into an opportunity for helping someone else, because you know what they're going through because you went through it yourself. You come through it and you're on the other side, and so you can give them hope that they can get to the other side too. And so it's a thought that with Christ as the center of our lives, we can find life, joy, and pleasure both now and for eternity. And we see in this verse, this is David speaking. He says of God, he says, thou wilt show me the path of life. And so that's what we understand. There is a path of life, a life that is worth living. And he wants to show it to us. And it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And so it's really that thought that if we understand that God is always present with us, that we are in his presence, and just he's there to help us, there to guide us, there to strengthen us, we can have joy whatever our circumstances might be. And he says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so often the pleasures that we seek that take us away from God, what are they? They're only temporary pleasures. And usually they come with a lot of pain afterwards. Whereas with him, he says there's pleasures forevermore, that there's things that he gives that last, that it isn't just for a moment and then it's gone and then pain comes, where things that last forevermore. So we can rejoice in that and in what he wants to give us. And it comes as we learn to live with him and walk with him and put him as the center of our lives. And so, as we draw to a close, it's thought that in dealing with our addictions, we're not just trying to not give in. We want to go beyond that. It's not just sobriety we're looking for, it's freedom. Where we want to get to a place where our addiction is just a memory. We've left it in the rearview mirror at the side of the road and we're never going back to it, right? And that freedom from addiction comes as our lives are renewed and transformed, so there's no reason for us to ever go back to our addictions. And we say, why would I go after that? Life, I don't need that anymore. That my life is fulfilling now without that. And all that did was take away the joy from my life, and I'm leaving it behind and I'm never turning back. And so it's the thought that in Christ we can find new life, life that is meaningful and fulfilling. And so it's as we find life in him, we can leave addiction behind for good. And it's the thing is that we pursued after the addiction and thought that would help us, and it destroyed us. That instead we need to turn it around and say, okay, if I'm going to pursue anything, I'm going to pursue Jesus. I'm going to get to know him. I'm going to deepen my relationship with him. I'm going to realize there's things he wants to teach me, things he wants to do in my life to give me victory. He wants to help me to become a better, whether it's a better friend, a better spouse, a better parent, that he wants to do these things. And so I want to seek him and have him change me and make me into something far greater than what I am right now. So that's the thing, is that he is our life, if we look at him in that way, that he's the one that I live for, and he's the one that can give me really the fulfillment that I'm seeking beyond anything else in this world.